Welcome to TY's 20. And a very happy Memorial Day to all those who are listening to the broadcast today. Hope you're all going to enjoy your day off, and I hope you're ready for some more sports talk. I'm flying solo today, no guests on the show, but even though it's just me talking about sports, there's a lot to talk about on this week's program. You know, every year around this time, it seems like baseball starts to really heat up. Once Memorial Day hits, it's about one-third of the baseball season completed, and you start to get a feel for who might be contenders, who might be pretenders in Major League Baseball. Now, for this season, you can say that for some of the teams. But actually, for the most part, here in 2011, this season is extremely tight as far as the standings go. And I know there's about 100 games left. But check this out. Five out of the six divisions in baseball have at least three teams at 500 or better. The only division that doesn't, surprisingly, is the American League Central. And this division was supposed to be one of those wide-open divisions, but the Cleveland Indians so far have been running away with things. And if you called that one, I need to get you on the show because you're a genius. Now, obviously, it's still very early. They could, you know, still end up being like the Padres of a year ago who kind of run out of gas at the end and still miss the playoffs. Or they could turn into, let's say, the Tampa Bay Rays of a few years ago and make a long postseason run. We'll have to see. It's one of the great things about baseball. There always seems to be a team every year that surprises a lot of people. Now, the Cubs, well, let's just say the last 2 years around Memorial Day, things haven't looked too good. Before the start of this latest homestand for the Cubs, I said that they needed to go 6-3 on this homestand to make things interesting again this season. Anything short of 6-3, when you look at who we were playing, the Mets, Pirates, and Astros, anything short of 6-3, especially when you look at the upcoming schedule, and this team may already be looking like they're out of the race. Well, they're just 3-3 so far. They took 2 of 3 from the Mets, and they only salvaged 1 of 3 against the Pirates. So with that in mind, they're going to have to sweep the Astros in order to have that 6-3 homestand. The Astros are a terrible baseball team, but I'm not even sure that the Cubs are capable of sweeping anybody in a three-game series, especially at home, surprisingly, where they've really struggled. It's definitely been a frustrating year to watch. This was a season that the Cubs could ill afford to have significant injuries, and that's exactly what has happened. Now, Randy Wells just got back, but he missed 2 months. Andrew Cashner still isn't back and won't be back for quite a while. Matt Garza's missed a couple starts. Marlon Byrd, Jeff Baker, Reed Johnson, just a lot of guys that have missed time. But the starting pitching was supposed to be a huge strength for this team, and it's been awful, mainly due to said injuries. This next thing I'm going to tell you is kind of hard to believe. If you haven't heard it already, you might be shocked by it. The Cubs are 5th in the league in runs scored. I bet nobody would ever think that about this offense. You know, they've got a really high batting average. They get a ton of base runners and a ton of hits. And they can pile on the runs in certain games, but getting the big hit is still a problem, and making their runs count has been a problem. Not much consistency there for this team also. But you know, it's hard for me to think about this team and how good or how bad they are when you consider the injuries to their starting pitching, because it would have made a huge difference to have Wells and Cashner going in 40% of our games in the last couple months, compared to Coleman and his over 7 ERA, Doug Davis and his over 7 ERA, James Russell and his over 7 ERA. Not to mention how much those guys and their starts have taxed our bullpen. At the same time, this team just looks bad in a lot of games. So part of me thinks, you know, it won't take too much to fix the team. We've got good young players. We've got some good pitching, and if we can just find a big bopper, you know, in the middle of the order, also keep the young guys coming and maybe add some speed, I kind of feel like we could contend very soon. Then there's another part of me that thinks maybe we're in trouble. Hopefully my first thought is the one that rings true. And here's the analogy I'm going to give. Let's look at one player, Aramis Ramirez. He's been a Cub since 2003. He's getting older. but he's still not terribly old. I think he's still 32. He just now hit his second home run of the season. He's only got 18 RBIs. Reed Johnson has 18 RBIs and about a third as many at-bats. But also don't forget this. The weather has been awful this year. Aramis is a warm weather guy. Last year on Memorial Day, Aramis only had 4 home runs. He still finished the year with, I believe, 25. So he could heat up. But Aramis Ramirez, here's the analogy. To me, he's the epitome of this team and where this franchise lies right now. A lot of people think we should trade him away. Other people think we should just let him walk after this year, which would only cost us $2 million. But there's a part of me that thinks if we had a better lineup, this guy would be a good fit still on a winning team. If he's no longer the focus of the offense and he's just a part of it, you know, the guy can still swing the bat. He's still hitting close to 300. Josh Vitter's the guy everyone's been talking about that will take Aramis' place one day. He still isn't exactly tearing up the minor leagues, and I don't think he's going to be ready by next year. And to be honest, he's looking more and more like a bust every year, unfortunately. Now, if the Cubs could go after a David Wright-type player, I'd be all for it. But Aramis Ramirez, how is he like the Cubs situation? Well, I think they could be in trouble, kind of like Aramis' career. But I also think there is that chance that they're only a few pieces away. Now, granted, they would be pretty big pieces. But me personally, if I'm taking over the Cubs, I'm confused on what to do with Ramirez moving forward. I will say this. This season, he is 1-for-22 this year with runners in scoring position and 2 outs, which is just awful. If you look beginning before this year even started, we needed to stay healthy and we needed Ramirez to drive in runs for this team to have any chance this year, neither of which have happened, and that's precisely why the Cubs are where they are, currently in fifth place. We'll continue to check in on the Cubs season throughout the year, of course, on the show. I just hope they start playing better baseball and give me a chance to have something interesting to say about them. Because if things continue the way they've been lately, it's going to be awfully tough to find things to talk about with this team all summer long. So, Cubbies, for the sake of the ratings of my podcast, please start winning some games. Pretty soon, one thing that is interesting, we'll start talking about the whole Ricketts and Hendry and Mike Quatty and others situations. But for now, it's enough Cubs talk for one podcast. Let's talk now about the NBA Finals. It is upon us. It starts Tuesday night in Miami. A rematch, which I believe it was the 2005 NBA Finals, if I'm correct, a rematch between the Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat. Now, if you recall, I said that the winner of the Celtics-Heat series would beat the Bulls, and on my last podcast, the Bulls were currently up 1-0 over the Heat, and I still picked the Heat, and they went on to win 4-1 in that series to win the Eastern Conference Championship. But I'm having a hard time in deciding who to pick for the NBA title. I'll tell you who I want to win, along with just about everybody else, if you're not a Heat fan. This one's a no-brainer. I've always been a big Dirk Nowitzki fan. Some people think it's his time. Some people think it's LeBron's time. But I'm really hoping it's Dirk's time. I also like Rick Carlisle a lot, former Pacer coach, of course. And as good as LeBron James is, as fun as the Heat can be to watch, I just can't root for him. You know, they keep talking about how Boston teamed up with All-Stars, and, you know, that's kind of why they teamed up. Well, there's a difference, a big difference, between getting All-Stars together and getting Superstars together. Even if the Heat win, I'm not sure if LeBron will get as much credit, considering he's obviously playing with Wade and Bosch, but I would love for Dirk to win and show the world that you can win a title by sticking with your team from day one, not leaving that team to join others, but instead trusting that they can build a team around you since you are supposedly the superstar. So that's what I hope happens. I'm hoping the Mavs win. For the Mavs to win, I'll say this. They need to win one of the first two games on the road. If they go down 2-0, party's over. The NBA Finals are set up in a 2-3-2 format. So if they can split in Miami, they go home for three. I'm confident they can win two of the three at home and take a 3-2 series lead heading back to Miami, where they'd have two shots to win it all. Now, if you remember last year, the Lakers were down 3-2 heading back home, and they ended up still winning game 6 and 7 on their home floor. So even though you're up 3-2, which I think is why they do the 2-3-2 setup, so they have that scenario, no guarantees you win. But to me, there is nothing I would enjoy more this season than to see the Miami Heat choke on their home floor in a game 7 of the finals. And so with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Mavericks in 7 games. Sometimes if you don't really have a clue on who's going to win, you just take who you want to win. And this one's really a tough call. Looking at both rosters and also recalling what I've seen from each team this postseason, I really have no clue how they match up with each other. Dallas needs to hit their threes, obviously, to have a good chance. But I and the rest of the sports world definitely hoping for a great series to watch. And I'm sorry that's all the time we have for you. This week, that's going to do it for this week's Memorial Day shortened podcast on TYS 20. Back at it for the full time next Monday, and I'll bring some guests back for the show. As always, please make sure to check out TYS20.com to listen to the podcast, both new and old alike. Thanks so much for tuning in. As Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. Take care. We'll see you next week.